Hello and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebupule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, just before the episode, this is a quick reminder to say if you're hearing this, it means you are not yet a subscriber of the Stretch Podcast. We don't run adverts on the Stretch Podcast. Our focus is on giving you great conversations with equally great guests. So our income for the podcast is directly from you, the listener, you, the subscriber. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. In the meantime, you will get a partial episode. We trust that you will love it enough to subscribe. Hey, hey, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebupule, your host, with part two of my conversation with author and money trauma coach, Vangile Makwakwa, on her book, What is Your Money Personality? So we did part one last week, which was very, very long. So if you were on the partial episode, I think you got 20 to 25 minutes, but the actual conversation was an hour and 20 minutes. So you really, really want to listen to full episodes because that's where the juice is. So today, again, you're going to get a partial episode. This was not that long. This conversation was just an hour. So you will be getting about 18 minutes, I think. And the rest of the episode will be for the subscribed. Today, we focus strictly on the five archetypes that she has written about, namely the sweet one, the fixer, the runaway, the destroyer, and the eternal child. Oh my goodness. I mean, I don't know what to say, except I have two archetypes. I identify with the two. I am definitely the sweet one. And I'm also the runaway, which is a very, very hard archetype to admit to being. So essentially what it talks to is when it comes to money affairs, I run. I don't look at my issues. I hope that they will go away. And this is something I'm healing, by the way. I'm just open about it because this is the Stretch Podcast. We are vulnerable here. We share the truth. This is what it's all about. So my default archetype, which is a shadow, by the way, meaning it's not who I truly, the runaway, when the runaway heals, they become the grounded seeker, which you will hear in the conversation. That's sort of where I am headed. And then the sweet one, when they are healing, they become the boundaried one. You know, you have very, very good and strong boundaries, which is something that I have been working very, very hard on. And I think I'm right on point. You'll hear in the conversation. And so I hope you listen. I hope you listen long enough to hear the whole thing. And I hope you get the book as well, because I mean, what we cover in the conversation is not even the tip of the iceberg of the book. You really do want to get the book and you want to identify your own archetypes. You want to heal. The beauty of the book is that it is very practical. It's got homework, it's got exercises, it's got journal prompts. It is a helpful, helpful book. Without much ado, I have read Vangile's bio in the first part. I have also shared how I know her in part one. So if you missed part one, maybe you want to start there. But yeah, I'm not going to prolong this any further. I am now going to give you my conversation with Vangile, part two. Enjoy. Vangile, welcome back, my dear. I hope this time we will stick to the, you know, the ancestors won't come and just disturb us. But before we continue, I just want to thank you for bringing forth my mom. I think you are a channeler. I don't know if you channel directly.
I've been told.
I think you are. You channel. But you've always channeled anyway.
Yes. I was told that I am an oracle and that my body is actually built for that. They were like, this is the physical, your entire body is built just for that. To chant.
Which is why you do yoga so easily. Not that it's easy, but I'm just saying yoga comes naturally to you. Speaking of yoga, I'm back at yoga. I wanted to tell you when we met. I'm back at yoga. I'm doing 40 days of a mixture. So I'm doing Vinyasa, Hatha, Yin, and Kundalini. After the 40 days straight, I will then infuse it maybe four times a day. I feel called to stay in the body as much as possible. And that's because we're going into a new round. 2024, like I said to you, is just a whole new ball game. So healers like us, if you've stopped doing yoga, please go back. And I'm glad you went back to Vipassana. I may just go this year. We shall see.
Listen, Kate, you actually do not have a reason not to.
I know. Okay, cool.
Please let me know so that I can do my 10 days of service then.
Okay, let's do it for the people. All right. So in your book, you speak of five archetypes that have a particular way of handling money. And I know in part one, we really went deep. So with this part, because I want people to buy the book, just give us the basics. What is a sweet one? What is the dynamic around them? And how do they handle finances? And how do they change it?
The sweet one is fun to be the clue in the family. Let's start with that. That is the role. They are sweet. So when people are fighting, they are the peacemaker. They are very sweet, but because of their sweetness, they have a hard time setting boundaries. Their role in this world is to realize that they are enough and to just that they don't need outside validation and that they can just by being themselves, they've already done their job. People will just like them regardless. But then because people like them naturally, they seek that validation consistently. So they end up always work also helping to fix the family. They step in where finances are needed. The problems when they grow older, they have a hard time because they need so much validation seeking jobs that are just outside of the norm, right? Mm. So they tend to do what is expected of them. Sweet ones know what will get them love and what is expected of them, and they do that. And then they go, they get their high-flying careers, etc., and get degrees and everything. But then they come back and use the money to support the family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And unlike the fixer, they do not have the energy of a fixer. They will get into debt to keep others afloat in the family.
Yeah.
So they're not getting, yes, they do. And the other thing is they do buy. They are the most likely to have store cards, right? Because they want clothes to fit in. They have credit cards, all that. Because they know what is expected of them.
Yeah.
What they should wear, how they should wear, all that. That is often not their problem, by the way. Not their problem, the sweet one. People, they'll always come and say, ooh, it's because I'm spending all this money. And once I know someone is a sweet one, I'm like, tell me about your family dynamics.
Mm.
More often than not, a lot of their money is going to support the family. It's going to help others. They can't walk away and just let people be. So they enable a lot. This is why as a destroyer, I am on. Like, it took me a lot to be able to deal with sweet ones in my family. I was like, and everyone would be like, but they're so sweet. They're so nice. And in my head, I'd be like, they are triggering me. And I didn't carry a lot of resentment as well that they don't talk about because they are constantly helping others. Sweet ones also tend to have a lot of womb issues because they stuff, if they are women, they stuff them. Resentment deep, deep into the sacral chakra. If they're men, they will struggle with a lot in terms of sexual stuff, right? That's because they're stuffing a lot of things in there. They tend not to be promiscuous either way because they need that validation. They're monogamous. They're really there, but they will just have a lot of struggles and they will feel often that people are taking advantage of them. but they won't have the words for that. So their biggest money struggle is debt, and not because of themselves, because of others. And they will then, and because they have so much debt, and unlike the fixer, they do not have the energy energetically to just always be calling in money, because a lot of their energy is working with people. So until they learn to set boundaries, even when they with people, they cannot charge. They are in their sweet one archetype. They will just be giving for free, free work. Because you are here to be the glue. You want to help. You want to save. You are just giving. So they will, until they heal their shadow archetype of the sweet one and moving grounded one, they will struggle to charge.
Yeah.
People owe them money. They won't know how to
forget to invoice.
They will work with the same client that doesn't invoice forever and a day. You know, I know the sweet ones are hectic. And then they'll be so depleted, they won't be able to make more money because so many of their clients are not paying them. They'll stay in jobs out of loyalty. They'll be the glue at their workplace. News will come in and out of them. They'll be the ones that remember, oh, we need to have birthday parties, guys. We need to do this. They can be at the same job for same career, same job for years and years because they are loyal. They are the glue. And then they'll even notice after some time, wow, I haven't been promoted. Hey,
everyone is dipping.
Make that money work and make it stretch. And they won't be thinking like that. A fixer. Fixer will always put their money first. This is how you know if you're not a fixer, guys. Because the sweet one and the fixer are confusing each other in the book. And I said before, I even write in the book, the sweet one is sometimes confused with the fixer.
Yes.
You are the type that's struggling to charge for your invoices, you are struggling to do things, all right, even when you're doing the work, a true fixer will do the work. Within a matter of days, they'll be like, Gondi, I'm owed money.
And they will put a price and sit with it and be comfortable. I mean, I am at a place where, because I am, my secondary is a sweet one. Oh, can you imagine the runner and the sweet one? I mean, that's a dynamite. Can you imagine when it's healthy? It's the boundaried one and the grounded seeker. I mean, that's why I'm doing the healing work. And that's why your book was like, last night I could not sleep. And I'm so happy that my phone died and the charger didn't work, because then I could read. I mean, I'm further along. I'm not done though, but yeah, I'm further along. So when I was in my shadow of both shadows, I mean, you know, you remember this. I just could not charge it. I mean, I would not even remember who paid or who didn't.
Yeah.
So people would be coming and saying, I haven't paid. I'm so sorry. What's your banking details? And I'm like, yeah, I'm coming. And then I'll be busy with someone else. Like, what's Lebu? What's your banking details? Yeah. Now, I have systems in place. I have subscriptions. I have paid work and free work. And guess what? I now do free work happily. Even paid work, I'm not breaking my back. If I'm sick, I don't go to work. I get people who are employed. When they're sick, they don't go to work and they go to a doctor. I now do that. My subscribed students who are in coaching notes and even the podcast listeners, they know that sometimes there won't be a podcast because I'm not well. My voice is not okay. I mean, I'm not doing it nastily. I work hard, as you know, but I would die first before I disappoint someone. I'd have to be dead, you know, for someone not get work that is for free. So from time to time, I mean, I slip into it because it's ongoing work. So I do slip into that, those nasty behaviors of just feeling sorry for myself and just wanting to cut prices. Because I feel like if I say my retreat is 5,000 rands, they love me. Meanwhile, the retreat is 18,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am the sweet one listener. The fixer, we spoke a lot about the fixer in part one, but in a nutshell, the fixer is the one who becomes sovereign, right? When they're at their healthiest, what does sovereign mean?
Oh, sovereign means that you allow everybody to live their lives. The core wound of the fixer is to control, right? Because they fear abandonment. And my guess is that the fixer fears, if it's I don't think they're born into the family and then they feel that abandonment thing. I think they come with it from a past life.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So then like automatically they come into that. And so they are also the glue, but they realize that they have to, their role is also, they cannot lose people because of the money thing. That is the thing they can control. So they become very, very controlling. So if you know the difference. So people will be like, but this one's also a breadwinner and this one is the breadwinner, but she's so nice. Like I found my lawyer, you know, that the one is the fixer and they are the true breadwinner, because they come and they are hectic and they are in control. And the reason why the fixer has to be so strong, not like the sweet one in terms of like the sweet one, oh, I'm so nice. Yes, you can do what you want. The fixer is here with a very particular mission. Okay. We have to get this thing done. You know, we can't be living in the same place. Like by the time I leave this planet, this family has to have housing, running water, electricity, everything.
Trust fund, if you know, educated children. People who can stand on their own. So they are here to actually be sovereign. They are king archetype, I suppose, as well.
Yes, they are. They are here. And through their sovereignty, they teach us when they become the sovereign one, they demand sovereignty from everyone else.
That's good. That's beautiful. You know?
So then they start having those conversations. It is actually fixes that will come and say, we need a will in the family. We need trust fund in the family. And they are the ones that will ask the questions of their siblings where everybody's celebrating. Oh my gosh, you wrote your book. A fixer will be like, so how are we making money?
Money out of this? Yeah.
I am with a fixer, right? And he's like, so how are we making money from this? And I'll be like, okay, you're a fixer. Né? Let me take it down to you because I'm not a fixer. I'm not a sweet one. I'm a destroyer. But like, literally, that is the first question I got asked. It was like, he was the first to buy the book, 3 copies. And even though like I gave him a copy because he was right there in it and supporting. But I was like, then he's like, okay, I see it. But how does this add even more to your business? This is what fixers do.
They actually help for real. Genuine helping.
Genuine helping. But it's not that. And why it frustrates us when they talk about the money thing is because we haven't learned how to relationship with money. So when they
talk for many about, reasons you mentioned in the book, so people need to read the book, otherwise we're spelling the book out for them. And
we're not going to bother with that. So then we have the runaway, which we've also spoken deeply about, but for the runaway to become the grounded seeker, they have to get into their bodies. So the runaway's core issues with money is that they will get into debt for the very reasons that we spoke about in part one. Mm-hmm. You don't at your bank account. You run away from everything.
You just run away. Yeah. And all you just stop and look at it and just fix what you need to fix. If it means, because I'm not in debt, then the debt that I'm in is just very minimal. It's not debt that people speak of. I don't have a credit card. I don't have a car installment. I don't pay a bond. I now at a stage where I'm slowly seeing some savings, like really, really small, because, you know, my plan, I really want property. I think I'm moving now towards the grounded seeker and towards the boundary one. And it's so funny how the safer I feel in my body, the more now I want a home.
Yeah.
I had a home. And it's so interesting. I had a home in my 20s when I made money, bonded house, and it got repossessed. But I suppose it's because I was so far away from healing. I was just lost cause really many years ago. You know, sort of like you and I were somewhere in Vietnam. I was buying a house I had no business buying because I'm not here.
Money.
Yeah. It was just I was just far away. But I'm loving how the more I get in the body, the more I feel like actually I deserve space that's mine. I want a home. I have a picture of it. Things that would never even come to mind literally 2 or 3 years ago. It would never cross my mind. So I don't know what my point was, but the point is the business. I have systems now in place because I'm a sweet one. I don't like to deal with people, because if a person says, I don't have money, I'm going to let them in the course. So I'm now, you need to know yourself.
Yes, you do.
So now I have a system. If you don't pay, it kicks you out. I don't even know who you are, when you join, when you didn't join. I just see numbers change, move up and down, and the money talks. That's where I am. And that frees me to do the work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I love that, hey,
yeah,
that you did that. That is the grounded seeker, and that is the boundaried one.
Okay. So,
and then there is the destroyer archetype, is the archetype that is very, very misunderstood. Because what do you do when you see things and you are over, you're here, your mission on this planet is to come unveil the trauma. So the one way that you unveil trauma is that you live it out in technique.
Yeah, you bring it, yeah.
You play it out. So the destroyer plays out the trauma. They are the ones that you're just like, but why is she like this? Why is she too much? It's like I talk about the deeply uncomfortable. I air out our dirty laundry. I talk about like tags. I talk about ancestors. I question religion. I just make it very, very uncomfortable. And then I tie it to money, right? And then it's just like, just everything is just uncomfortable. And I know I make many people uncomfortable. I've had many people say, trauma. That's all you want to talk about, right? So that is what destroyers do. We bring the uncomfortable, but sometimes we can do it in the most toxic of ways.
Yeah.
Right. We play it out. We are the ones that cause arguments, blah, 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 everything. So destroyers have the capacity to be extremely toxic, right? And unfortunately, because you carry that toxicity with you, this is how you learn to deal with anything uncomfortable. You do it even to everybody. Even where you do not need to do that.
Yeah.
With in Technicolor, like to the sweet ones, to spaces that are chilled. You just do it. So you'll see a lot of destroyers are just angry. And what's happening in...
You know why Ntsikima's wise picture comes to mind? I think Ntsikima is a destroyer.
She is, I think. Because she brings out the uncomfortable things. And the thing is that if she didn't say those things, a lot of things would be left unsaid.
Yes.
You know? But the thing is that sometimes as destroyers, as a destroyer myself, sometimes the way in which you say a thing can really put people completely off, right? Even if it is the truth. So as a renovator, you then learn to just let people be. You
know,
as a renovator, what you do is you step into this archetype of where before I wanted to destroy, now I'm showing people what could be if they started to heal. You start to live within the healed archetype. You start teaching by being what you want them to be.
Of course.
It becomes you. You destroy yourself and then you renovate yourself. Right? And there are certain things that you do not have to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that you start allowing. And guess what? As a renovator, you can work with the sweet one and the boundaried one. You start understand who they are. They may trigger you, but you're not out there to destroy them and force them to face themselves. That's being you, right? So that big, big thing, it becomes such a powerful archetype because the destroyer has the second most energy after the fixer, right? The fixer needs karmically to have more energy than everybody else because they have to get us somewhere. But the destroyer also needs to have a lot of energy to destroy.
Did you love the episode? If you'd like to listen to more, you know what to do. You'd simply have to subscribe. The subscription link is on all of my social media bio. It is also on the show notes right here on this episode and all the other episodes' show notes. You simply click on the link and you follow the process, and we will see you on the other side. For now, I wish you love and all green lights, as always.